You know, the Apostle Paul had a lot of reasons to glory in himself. I mean, you can start with his conversion. Just think about it. He was on the way to Damascus. He had letters in his pocket that gave him permission to persecute the Christians. He saw a bright light in heaven, fell to his knees, heard a voice from heaven that was the Lord Jesus Christ. And as a result of that conversation that he had with Christ, he was saved that day on the road to Damascus. Now, again, I know all of us, when we were saved, had a glorious experience. I mean, mine, and I'm sure yours is the same way. I can remember it just like it happened yesterday. I can remember the smells. I can remember how it felt on my knees when I knelt on that tile floor. I can remember when I put my head down on that vinyl couch. I can remember it just like it happened a few hours ago. And all of us had a wonderful experience when we came to know Christ as our Savior. But just think about it. A bright light from heaven that blinded him. A voice from heaven. The Lord Jesus Christ saying, "Hey, Saul, it's hard for you to kick against the pricks." And coming to know the Savior in that personal way, I mean, we know throughout the New Testament that he shared his conversion experience, and again, we ought to be excited about the one we had, but if we heard a voice from heaven and saw a bright light, we'd probably be more apt to tell it to other people than, you know, down on your knees in front of your pastor's couch. But I mean, if anybody had a reason to glory, it was the Apostle Paul. When he got saved, he also got called. He said, the Lord told him, "Go into Antioch and I'll send somebody to tell you what to do." And he went into Antioch and Ananias came and told him what the Lord has in store for him. And God prepared him for a few years to get him ready. He went to Antioch and was there with Barnabas serving as co-pastors of that church in Antioch. And then God said, "Hey, I want Paul and Barnabas, I want them to be missionaries. I want them to go out from this church. I want them to go out to this place. I want them to go into the world and tell people about me." And that church commissioned them, and they went out as missionaries. Paul and Barnabas on the first missionary journey. Paul and Silas on the second missionary journey. And they went around the world. And again, with great results. I mean, everywhere Paul went, something happened. They either threw him in jail or they had a great revival. Sometimes it was both. They threw him in jail and still had a great revival. And again, if anybody had, if anybody should have the right to glory in what God did through him, it was the Apostle Paul, both in his conversion and in his call. And then we know how God used him. I mean, he wrote over half the New Testament. He was a great preacher. He was a great church builder. God used him to work some miracles. And then we come to this passage of Scripture that said he was talking about a man, and if you don't read it close enough, you might think he was talking about somebody else, but he was talking about himself. He was talking about this special vision, revelation that God gave him where he was caught up into the third heaven, caught up into paradise. He heard things that's not lawful for a man to speak. And he came back and he said, and again, you have to read the Greek real closely to see this. He came back and he said, "Wow. Wow. I mean, this is amazing that God would take me up into the third heaven, take me to paradise, and let me see and let me hear what he has let me see and what he has let me hear. It's just amazing." And Paul said, it would have been easy for me to glorify or to find glory in myself. To say, "Man, God must think I'm somebody really special because of the way I was converted to Christianity, because of my call to the mission field, because of what he's let me accomplish or what he's done through me in starting churches and seeing people saved and working the miracles that I've worked." But then he says, "You know what? God has helped me though. He's helped me. Rather than let me get proud, rather than help me boast of anything that God has done through me, the Lord gave me a thorn in the flesh." He called it a message of Satan to buffet him. Now, I've known some people that have read that word as buffet, and they said, "Pastor, see buffets in the Bible." There's Paul being buffeted. That's not buffet, it's buffeted. A messenger of Satan, a thorn in the flesh. Nobody knows what it was. Some people think when he was blinded on a Damascus road that the thorn in the flesh was his resultant poor eyesight. Some people think that he had epilepsy. It doesn't matter what it is. It was just something that kept him needy. It was something that kept him close to God. Because you see, he went to God three times. Three times he went to God and said, God, I've got this messenger of Satan that's after me. I've got this thorn in the flesh. And if you could just remove it, if you could just take it out of my life, I would be a lot better servant of yours. I wouldn't be distracted by it. I wouldn't be discouraged by it. I wouldn't have to worry about it. If it was epilepsy and he had epileptic seizures at times, I'm sure he might have felt embarrassed when that happened, especially if he was up before a group of people talking. And so he went to the Lord and said, hey, I could be a lot better preacher. I could be a lot better teacher. I could be a lot better missionary. I could be a lot better Christian. I could do more for you if you would take this thorn in the flesh away. Just get it out of my life and I'll be a whole lot better. And he said he went to God three times. Thrice. I went to God three times and I asked him to remove it. And every time God came back and said, Paul, no, I'm not going to take it away. And he said, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Tonight, I preach a sermon entitled, God is Just Enough. God is Just Enough. When God said to Paul, and he says the same thing to us, same thing to us, all of us have things in our life that on occasion we go to God and said, hey God, if you would just take care of this, it would make my life a whole lot easier. If you would just solve this problem, if you would just take this sickness away from me, or if you could just fix up this thing in my life, I would be a better Christian, I would be a better ambassador, I would be a better representative of yours. And I think God comes to us at times and says the same thing that he said to the Apostle Paul. No, I'm not going to take it away. I want you to bear it, because when you bear it, you have to depend on me, and my grace is sufficient during those times. Now that word sufficient means just enough. Just what you need. Not more than you need, not less than you need, but just exactly what you need. That's what the word sufficient means. That's what God was saying to the Apostle Paul. In those times when you are hurting, in those times when you have to struggle, in those times when you are discouraged, when those times when there are things happening in your life that you can't understand, that you wish I would just take away, I want you to lean on me. I want you to depend on me. I want you to learn that during those times, my grace is just what you need. God is a sufficient God. He will give us exactly what we need. Again, not more, not less, but just what we need. Now, we know God is an omnipresent God, which means that he is everywhere at the same time. But he's not everywhere at the same time at in the same proportion. Okay? He always comes in proportion to the need. For example, when you are sorrowing about something, when there's something that has broken your heart, when you have lost a loved one, when you are very concerned about a friend that is going through a hard time and you sorrow over it, he comes and gives more comfort to the person that's sorrowing than he does to the person that's not sorrowing. If you have a broken heart, he will come to you with more comfort than he will to the person that does not have a broken heart at that same time. If you have a burden, he will come and give you strength to carry that burden. But the person that's not carrying a burden at that particular time, God will not give extra strength to. If you are suffering a time of loneliness, God will come and let you feel his presence in a very special way, as opposed when you have family and friends about you and you're not feeling lonely. You won't feel God in that special way. He always gives us exactly what we need. His grace is sufficient. We sing the song sometimes. He giveth more grace when the burdens grow greater. He sendeth more strength when the labors increase. To added affliction, he addeth his mercy. To multiplied trials, his multiplied peace. His love has no limit. His grace has no measure. His power, no boundary known unto men. For out of his infinite riches in Jesus, he giveth and giveth and giveth again. And we have a God that always gives us exactly what we need. Now, here's what we expect. We expect God to be with us in the same proportion all the time. That's what we expect. But God doesn't work that way. If we don't need it, God won't give it. He will give me what I need for the task at hand, no more, no less. Always sufficient. He never gives in excess. Now, I know some of you are thinking, oh, now, just a minute, preacher, just a minute. What about that time when Jesus fed the 5,000 men on the hillside? You remember that story about the little boy that brought his lunch of 5 little pieces of bread and 2 small fishes, and there were 5,000 men plus the women and children that were there. Could be 15,000 people in the crowd. And Jesus took that lunch and had all the people sit down in groups of 50 and groups of 100. And he broke the bread and he broke the fish, and the disciples passed it out, and everybody had all they can eat, and they had something left over. They took up 12 baskets of leftovers. Isn't that God giving more than was needed? And I'll tell you tonight, no, I don't think so. Because the people that ate, they didn't get doggy bags to take home. The people that ate got all they could eat. And here's what I think happened to the 12 baskets. Now, the Bible doesn't say this, but I sort of think that Jesus lined up 12 men and said, follow this little boy home because he's getting all the leftovers. He invested his lunch in my work. I want him to know that investing in my work has paybacks. And I can just picture in my mind at this as evening comes, and this little boy is leading this procession of 12 men. And I don't think these were little Easter baskets. I think these were big baskets. I think they had them on their shoulders and were carrying them. I can just picture in my mind as this little boy walks into his hometown. He's so excited. He's calling out, Mama, Mama, come out here. And she comes out not knowing what to expect. And here's her little boy who she sent with a little sack lunch of 5 little pieces of bread and 2 fish, followed home by these 12 men carrying these huge baskets. Man, they probably ate leftovers for months and months and months and months. Fish and bread. I know some of you are tired of turkey already, and so am I. But God always blesses people that invest in his work. So again, I don't think it was an excess in that case. I think it was exactly what the people needed that day. So let me give you some more examples from the Bible where God just gives enough. You remember when the nation of Israel was walking through the wilderness, and they had to depend on God for what they ate every day. I mentioned this in Sunday school. I said, in some ways, I wish we had that same system today where we had to depend on God every day for what we had to eat. Because it would remind us what's true even today when we can go to the cupboard and we can go to the refrigerator and take food out. We are still dependent on God every day for what we need. And so every day in the morning, they would go out and they would gather manna for the day. Now, if they gathered too much, Sunday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, if they gathered too much, if they gathered more than they were going to eat that day, you remember what happened to it? It rotted. The Bible says it bred worms. Okay? It was no good. And on Friday, when they went out to gather the manna on Friday, they gathered enough for 2 days because Saturday was the Sabbath. And God said, you're not going to work on the Sabbath, so on Friday I'm going to send 2 days worth, and it won't rot. Just gather enough for 2 days, and I'll preserve it overnight. And that's what they did on Friday. They gathered enough for 2 days. Again, he gave them exactly what they needed. Not more, not less. Exactly what they needed when they needed it. Let me give you another Bible example of how his grace is sufficient. He gives us exactly what we need. The Bible says when they were wandering through the wilderness that their shoes did not wear out. And their shoes on their children grew with their children's feet. When I was a young parent, I said, man, I wish we could have this. I wish we could have shoes that grew with our children's feet, and I wish we could have shoes that didn't wear out. Now, God had to do that because they didn't have any way while they were in the wilderness to replace their shoes. And so God just took care of them for that time and gave them exactly what they needed. Now, that's not true while they were in Egypt. It wasn't true after they got into the promised land and got established. I mean, after they got into the promised land, cobblers had to go back to work. They had to make shoes for those that wore out. They had to make shoes for children whose feet outgrew their shoes. But in that time, God's grace was sufficient. He gave them exactly what they needed. Another example, the fiery furnace. When Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said to King Nebuchadnezzar, we're not going to bow down, we're not going to worship your idol. And they got thrown in the fiery furnace. I want you to know tonight that Jesus was not in the fiery furnace before they got there. And he was not in the fiery furnace after they left. But all the time that they were in the fiery furnace, he was there. And again, my point is, his grace is sufficient. It does not show up before we need it. It does not stay after our need is gone. But while our need is present, his grace is there, and it's just what we need. Now, I want to make four statements. These are not 4 points. These are just 4 statements. I don't really have any points tonight. Just this one truth. We're not going to get out any earlier, but just this one truth. But 4 statements that reinforce this truth. God doesn't give you strength for the journey. He gives you strength during the journey. Most of us say, Lord, you want me to do this thing. You want me to go on this journey. Give me the strength to go. God said, I don't work that way. You get started, I'll give you the strength. But God, I need the strength to start. No, you don't. You just need faith that I'm going to take care of you on the way. Just get started, I'll give you the strength as you go. God doesn't give you comfort for the sorrow before the sorrow comes. He gives you comfort during the sorrow. You can't stock up on it. You can't put it in your pocket. You can't put it in the bank. It doesn't show up before you need it. But when you need it, the comfort comes in the exact amount that you need. God, number 3, God doesn't give you strength to carry the burden. He gives you strength while you're carrying it. Again, we say, give me strength and I'll pick up the burden. God says, nope, pick it up, then I'll give you the strength. My grace is sufficient. Trust me. That's what he was telling the Apostle Paul. You want me to take away this thorn in the flesh? I just want you to trust me. I just want you to depend on me. I just want you to learn that I'll give you exactly what you need when you need it. Not before, not after, not in excess, just enough to help you do what I'm asking you to do, just enough to help you get through what I'm asking you to go through. Just trust me, I'll be there when you need me with a sufficient enough grace to make it. God, number 4, God doesn't give himself when loneliness is approaching. He gives himself when you are lonely. He's a sufficient God. He gives you exactly, he gives us exactly what we need. He's a one step at a time God. Listen, he's a one step at a time God. He will not give you the strength for the next step. He'll give you strength for the step that you're taking now. And when you get ready to take the next step and start that step, then he'll give you strength for that one. That's why in the Bible he calls himself I am. I am always there. Not I was, not I will be, but I am. You see, God lives in the present. He does not know yesterday. He doesn't know tomorrow. It's always today with God. And that's how he wants us to live. Don't live in the past. Don't worry about the future. Today is the day that the Lord's given you to live, and he is a God of today. He won't, listen, the past is already gone. There's nothing that other than canceling out our sins through the Lord Jesus Christ that we talked about in Sunday school this morning. God's not going to worry about the past. He's not going to give you strength to bear the burdens of the past. And he's not going to give you strength to bury bear the worries of tomorrow. He doesn't work that way. He's a God that operates in the here and now, in the today, and he will give us what we need today to do what we need today. Some people say, I just can't take it anymore. And I say, you don't have to. Just take it now. You don't have to take any more. Just take what you got now. God's not going to give you what you need for the more, but he will give you what you need for the now. So just take the now. Some people say, well, I can't face tomorrow. And I always say, well, you don't have to. You don't have to face tomorrow. You don't live in, don't worry about tomorrow. Worry about today. God's going to give you what you need today. And when tomorrow gets here, it'll be today. And God will give you today what you need today that we think about tomorrow. Isn't this deep, Brother Gerald? I mean, deep, deep preaching, isn't it? Some people say, I can't take another step. We don't have to take another step. Just finish the one you've started. Complete the step that you're taking now. And then take the next one. And when you take the next one, God will give you strength to take that one. You say, now, preacher, why is God this way? Why doesn't he give me today what he knows I will need tomorrow? I mean, he's an omniscient God. He knows everything. He knows what I'm going to face tomorrow. Why don't he just give me right now what I'm going to need tomorrow? Yeah, and why don't he give me what I need for Tuesday right now? Why don't he give me what I need for Wednesday and Thursday and Friday? Why don't you just, I mean, he's an omnipotent God. He has the power. He could give me everything I need right now for next week. You know why God doesn't do that? Because he wants you to trust him every day. Every day. You know what? You know what we'd do if God gave us everything we needed for next week, if he gave it to us right now? About Wednesday, we'd forget where it came from. About Wednesday, we'd say, I'm making it pretty good. I'm poking out my chest, not my gut. It's hard for me to do. But anyhow, look, I, when you're in the condition I'm in, you can't poke out one and not the other. But anyhow, we get proud. We'd say, I made it for 3 days. I haven't seen God at all. I can make it the rest of the week without God. And we have forgotten that he's given us what we need for the whole week. And so God says, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to give you anything ahead. I want you to depend on me just like the Israelites did in the wilderness. I want you to depend on me every day. I want you to realize every day that my grace is sufficient. I want you to realize every day that I'm going to give you exactly what you need. Not going to give it ahead of time. I'm going to be there right when you need it. Second reason why he's this way and not doesn't give us ahead what we need, he wants us to be part of the struggle. He wants us to be part of the fight. I mean, he wants us to grow. And we don't grow spiritually when everything is easy. We grow when we go down into the valley and learn that we have to depend on Him. We grow during hardship when we learn that we have to depend on Him. We grow during the heartaches when we have to depend on Him. I mean, he said, I don't want to do everything for you. If I did everything for you, you would not grow, and you wouldn't, and you again, you would not remember that I am providing what you need. You think you're doing it yourself. So I said, I'm not going to give it to you. I want you to be part of the fight. And then number three, God works this way because He wants to work with you, not for you. God is not a genie in a lamp that we rub and is at our beck and call. God wants a personal relationship with us that's a kind of personal relationship that says, I need thee every hour, most precious Lord. I need thee every hour. God doesn't work for us, but He wants to work with us in those times that we need Him, and He is there, and His grace is sufficient. I will give you exactly what you need. Again, there's another little song that's been running through my mind this week. His grace is sufficient for me. His love is abundant and free. Oh, what joy fills my soul just to know that His grace is sufficient for me. He's not going to take away the thorns. He's not going to take away the messenger of Satan that's sent to buffet us. He's not going to take it away. But what He does say is, I'll be with you. And my strength is just what you need. It's sufficient. It's sufficient. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for this truth. Help us to realize that your grace is sufficient. It's exactly what we need when we need it. Help us to learn to just trust you in that way. Help us to realize that every day, every hour, we need you. We need the things that you provide for us. We need your love. We need exactly what you have for us. Help us to live in that truth. Father, I pray if there's somebody here tonight that doesn't know Jesus, help them to realize that His grace is sufficient for their salvation. It's all that they need. Nothing more, nothing less. And the precious grace that Jesus showed us on Calvary when He died in our place. And I pray if there is somebody here tonight that has never received Christ, that they would come. We could show them from the Bible how to ask Jesus to be their Savior. I pray for Christians tonight. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would speak to us. If there's something in our life that shouldn't be there, help us to just get rid of it. Help us, Holy Spirit. Again, just speak to us. Help us to be obedient. If there's people here tonight that need to come for baptism, help them to come. If there's people here tonight that you've been talking to about joining the church, help them to come. Be obedient to the way the Holy Spirit's leading. So I just ask you to bless this time of invitation. Use it. Help us, again, to be obedient to what you tell us to do. I ask all this in Christ's name. Amen.